Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any questions you would like to ask during this broadcast, you can email them to me at bonkay@AOL.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E @AOL.com. Before I introduce my special guest tonight, I would just like to make an announcement or two. First, we're getting ready for our next healing weekend, which will be the last weekend in April near Washington, D.C. We have a wonderful weekend planned with some really exciting women who will be there. Some are returnees, some are new women. We will all be there bonding together. And so if you're interested in joining me for the weekend, please write to me at bonkay@AOL.com, or you can see the note on my website at gayhusbands.com. There's a link there to click in to write to me that you're interested, and I'll be in touch with you shortly with all of the details. But it will be an exciting weekend, and welcome you to come there. It will be a life-changing experience for all of you, as it is for me every time I attend one. Next, I just wanted to mention that my new newsletter will be out right after Thanksgiving. I have some interesting articles in there and coping for the holidays. If you're not on my newsletter list, you can write to me also at bonkay@AOL.com. Or you can go onto my webpage at gayhusbands.com and look at the blog because I post the newsletters there each time. So I'm about to introduce my very special guest for tonight, and I almost feel like I'm playing that game, What's My Line, where they bring out a special guest, and I would make people ask questions about who it could be, but that would take up too much of my valuable time. So my surprise guest for tonight is Suzette Vernon. Welcome back, Suzette.
Ah, thank you, buddy. It was so fun. I was like, oh, God, what's she going to ask me?
Yes, I was going to ask some questions to give you some clues, like, are you happily married, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Were you unhappily married in your last marriage, yes or no?
Hell yes.
So now you can see the whole difference in a whole new light, correct? Yes or no?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
So I think that people would definitely be able to guess it was you. So welcome back to the show, Suzette. We totally miss you. People are always asking about you and missing you because you inspire so many of our women and men who listen to this show with your wonderful advice and your wonderful view on life. And so let's catch up. How's the coaching going?
It's going well. It's going well. I'm starting to up-level in a lot of ways. One of the things that I realize is that I have a voice, and I'm beginning to feel like I need to get out more, to do more speaking, to do more of that. And so I have been working on that. I've been training. I've been doing different things so that I can really get my message, hone it, get it really down to what it is I feel like I'm really called to say, what I survived, everything I survived, to really contribute to the world. And so I've been getting very clear on that and fine-tuning it, and I'm excited. I'm excited about how this is growing my coaching, how it's going to grow everything in my life, because I really believe that when we survive something like what we have survived and what you straight wives are surviving or have survived, it's not just because we were just supposed to or just happenstance. There is a reason. There's a purpose. There's something bigger than us that allowed us not to lose our minds, that allowed us, those of us who have processed and are kind of going through the grieving process and starting to come out on the other side and starting to really start contemplating who we are apart from what we went through. There's a reason you survived it. And so I'm getting more and more clear on my reason so that I can make a greater impact in this world.
It's hard to believe that you could because you have such an impact already, but okay. Maybe more widespread impact would be better to phrase it that way. But I'll tell you, each time I think about our women and, you know, our support group and how we're growing and, you know, the numbers in there, and I read the posts from our women, and I'm just so proud of them because they don't give up. You know, they're strugglers and they're fighters, and, you know, they really want to put their lives back on track, and they're up against so much adversity, and it's so difficult for so many of them, especially those who have been in long-term marriages, who have children to raise, and now all of a sudden they find themselves in a totally new situation. And it's so difficult, it's so demanding, and a lot of times you have so much residual scarring, and, you know, that's one thing I thought maybe you could address tonight also, is the fact that just because the marriage is over doesn't mean that you recover and it all goes away right away. It's a process, and healing is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Am I right?
Oh, gosh, you hit the nail right on the head, Bonnie, because one of the things that can happen, if you've been neglected, abused, bullied, you know, verbally abused, emotionally abused, that kind of thing, one of the things that can happen once you leave that situation is you start to abuse yourself. Those things that occurred somehow or another took root in you and caused you to forget who you are, or you start treating yourself in ways that you really would not if you had known or someone had shown you the kind of love you deserved. And so that's one of the reasons that another one of the things that I have really been focusing on is that message that I was telling you about, and that is to ask the question, am I enough? Because a lot of us feel like because of what we've gone through, we're defective. That something about us is no longer good. It's no longer the same. It's no longer worthy. That we want love, but something inside of us questions whether we really are deserving of it. And so it has really become a real passion and a sense of purpose for me to really drill down on that question, am I enough, and to really get clear, and to help the people that I coach and the people that I speak to get really clear, not just on the message that I am enough, because a lot of us can hear it, get motivated by it, put our fists in the air and say, yes, we're enough, yes, but it's in those silent moments, in those moments when everybody goes home and you're left to deal with whatever brokenness that's around you, that those thoughts, those beliefs, those things can really haunt you and cause insecurities to grab you by the throat and choke you till you pass out, unless we get down to why we are enough, not just that we are enough, but I think the thing that holds up a lot of women is, why am I enough? Nobody has told me why. After everything I've been through, what is it really underneath all of this stuff that makes me enough? And I really believe that because it was happened for me, women can get down to really what makes them enough in their being, not just in what they do, what they have, but in the internal part of themselves, then they don't fall prey to some of these things that come as a result of not knowing that we're enough and why. And so I think it's very, very important, especially for us women that have gone through trauma, to get back down to what really makes us enough on a soul level, on a real, real, real deal level.
I think that a lot of times after a destructive marriage, and especially one for a number of years, and living with abuse and emotional abuse, and a couple of weeks ago we had Kristen Cowbley, my literary guru, on the show. And we were talking about an article she wrote for the last newsletter about people being shamed and blamed, and mostly, taking away the blame. Because, I asked her to do a piece on that because I wanted to write about the shame of it. How so many of our women feel this sense of shame, because when you're battered through the years enough times and made to feel, and like you always talk about the feminine spirit, when your feminine spirit is broken and all you have left is nothing, then to try to even refine it or rebuild it or to find out where it is takes a very long time. And as soon as you have, just 1 ounce of rejection again, you're back to where you started. It's like you haven't built yourself up enough. And that building up is a process, right?
It is. And there's a reason why people call something a blind spot. Because it's because we can't see it. So it's kind of hard for a person who has been abused to heal themselves without help. There needs to be some kind of outside help, something objective, something that can see in you what maybe you can't see anymore, something that can help you to see those areas of your soul that have been brutalized and messed over and altered because of what you went through. You need someone that can see, that can help. You need that sense, not just of accountability, but somebody who can help you see yourself again, can hold up a mirror, a loving, compassionate, yet a real mirror, and help you to see. Because I've tried it, before. A lot of times we can think, well, if you just give me the formula or you just give me the information, if I read enough books, I can do this on my own. There are some wounds that a Band-Aid will not do. There are some wounds that Bactine won't help. There are some wounds that you cannot nurture on your own. The deeper the wound, You need help. You need somebody who knows who you are, but has come out on the other side with the keys, you know? And I know I'm not everybody's favorite flavor. I get that. I get that. But the one thing that I know for sure, Bonnie, is that I did not just come out of this. I didn't just survive it. I reached the land of thriving. And because I know I've reached that land, I know it's there for those who want it. And so it makes
exactly.
it very difficult
and I think that's a very
me.
Big point, too.
Yeah.
That, if you can
yeah.
just on that for a minute. There's a difference between surviving and thriving. And a lot of women
yeah.
get themselves to the state of surviving, which is important. But you can't just live in a state of survival. You have to move on so you can be in the next stage of your life, which is a stage of thriving. That life becomes beautiful again. And whether it's being on your own or meeting somebody else, nobody says you have to have a partner in life. You can be happy within yourself. But you have to be alone and be happy within yourself. That's fine if you're alone, but you don't want to be lonely with yourself. You want to be, you know, happy with yourself. So I think that from making that survival step to the thriving step, that's where coaching really comes in, right?
It really, really does. And sadly, we are so conditioned to just surviving. We're so conditioned to think that, okay, I got out of this bad relationship. So the first thing that I need to do, it isn't go to a coach. It isn't getting to someone that can help me. What it is, oh, I think I'll go get another degree. You know, I think I'll do this. I think I'll do all these external things that will somehow, I think somehow another will fix me, will make me bigger, better, will help me to respect myself again, to be somebody that will cause me to be able to snub my nose at him or give him the middle finger and say, aha, you thought you got me, but look, I got a PhD. You thought you got me, but look, I got this now. But that does not solve the soul of a person. It doesn't deal with it. And so you can get all these degrees, you can get lots of money, you can get acclaim, you can start a new business, you can do all these wonderful things and get triggered. One little trigger will put you back in the fetal position. Why? Because you did not get the toxicity of what you went through out of your self-image and your self-esteem. So
well, what I'm hearing you say is that when you do all of these things, which are all good positive things, but there are things that are external, but you still haven't solved the internal problem. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. You still haven't solved it. And it makes you the external makes you feel good. You know it does, and you should be very proud of it. But if either you're running towards something or running away from something. And if you are still running away from what happened to you, if you're trying to outrun it, then it is still a threat to you. And my thing is, let's remove the threat. Let's remove the threat. If it's possible to remove the threat, let's remove it. There's a cancer in your body and they can operate on it and heal you of it, then let's get the operation and let's get this mess out of us. Yeah. Because you'll only grow but so much.
And I think that's really the problem for a lot of women, too, that, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to a therapist today who's a marriage therapist, and we were talking, you know, about someone that we had in common. And she was saying that, you know, the first thing I told this person was, when your marriage ends, what are you going to change about yourself so that you don't find yourself again with the same kind of person? Because if you don't change something within yourself, you're going to just keep repeating this pattern. And I don't necessarily
mm-hmm.
mean gay, but I just mean in a
Right.
controlling, destructive, you know, narcissistic type of relationship, that if you don't change who you are, you're going to find yourself right back in the same mess. And do you agree
oh,
with
yeah.
that?
That's the thing about it that we have to accept. And ladies, please understand, y'all, for those of you that don't know me, I'm really a cool person. And for those of you that have been listening to me, you know I give it to you straight because I love you. The thing about this is, what we have to understand is there was something that caused us to consent to staying with somebody that didn't treat us well.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, this person came wrapped in gay clothing or a gay orientation, but that could be any man that doesn't
mm-hmm.
treat you well. And if you don't understand and get what's off a line, get what's unhealed, healed, then he might be heterosexual. And you'll still experience some of the same things because you don't know how to recognize healthy. And when you don't know how to recognize healthy, how to recognize it, then you will accept what's unhealthy. That's reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. So it's not saying, you know, something's wrong with you. No, you are a beautiful, brilliant, deserving person. But something has been programmed that was wrong in what makes you deserving, what makes you lovable. And that has to be dealt with. Else it'll come up and like we're wearing different clothes, smell different, look different. Doesn't matter whether it's a different race or in a different city. We can't outrun us.
And that's the truth.
We can't.
We have to fix what the problem is internally, or else you'll never
yes.
feel it externally. Even no matter how much you accomplish, no matter how far you come, no matter what degrees you earn, no matter how much money you're making, if you still haven't changed what's inside, you're just going to keep repeating the past. It will be in a different form.
Oh.
It will be with a different man. It will be in a different circumstance, but it will be the same outcome. Because
indeed.
You'll be doomed.
Even if it's a good man you meet, even if you meet a good man,
uh-huh.
if you have not dealt with the distortions that are underneath the skin like a landmine, just waiting for somebody to step on it and explode, if you haven't dealt with that, you can make a good man run away from you screaming and hollering. Because you make it so hard for him to love you, so hard
mm-hmm.
for him to be kind to you. You take him through such tests and such suspicion and such accusation and, oh, he's too nice. Must be something wrong with him. You know, it's like he can't be nice to you because you are so wired to a person not being nice, not loving you just because of who you are. Because if you haven't learned to love you for who you are, how in the world can you accept it?
Exactly. You know, loving yourself is really the key. And,
it is.
You know, it's not being selfish because you love yourself.
Oh, no.
If you're not, and people mistake that. They say, well, if I love myself too much, then how can I have a successful relationship? Because I have to put those other person's needs first. No, you don't. Why would you have to always put the other person's needs first? I mean, you should be a partnership where your needs count also. And I think this is the problem with caretakers. And most of
yes.
the women who marry gay men are caretakers. Let's call it what it is. You know,
yes.
we are the caretakers of the world. We're always taking care of everybody's problem. Always hoping that if we love them enough, they're going to change, that love will show them the way, that they'll understand what love really is when we keep showing it to them a million times over, even if they don't return it. So, I mean, we are caretakers, and the only way we can stop being caretakers is to start taking care of ourselves and realizing that people will not value us if we don't value ourselves. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. We have been raised, many of us, especially those of us who are survivors of being married to someone that's gay. We have been somehow wired. Maybe our mothers or our significant people in our lives modeled that men were numero uno.
Uh-huh.
The world revolved around them. Maybe they weren't gay, but they were alcoholic. Maybe they weren't
uh-huh.
alcoholic, but they were abusive. You know, I remember in our household, and it's very common to many African-American households, when your father or the man of the house came through the door, you
uh-huh.
couldn't eat until he got his piece of the chicken. Everything revolved around that man. He came in, he sat down, he was served, he was accommodated, he made the rules. Everything revolved around him. And when you grow up with that, it's an automatic thing that you, if he wants something, you try to give it to him. If he doesn't give you what you want, you try to find a way to deal with it. You know, instead of saying, wait a minute, with all due respect, this is not a you. This is a we. And the me part of the we is not happy.
Uh-huh.
The me part of the we is not getting my needs met. The me part of the we does not like the way this thing is going down.
Uh-huh.
And you can tell me all day long it's my problem. I might would agree with you if I wasn't married to you, living with you, or having babies with you. But since I'm here in this house with you, and I got the paper to prove it, this me problem is a we problem. It's a problem, and we have to deal with it. And if you will not give me what I need, then I will find a way to give myself what I need. And a lot of us, we haven't learned how to find a way to give ourselves what we need. We wait for our partners to do it, and then when they don't do it, then we're a victim. But when you're empowered to know, you know, if you don't treat me or regard my opinion or whatever it is to the extent that I need you to, then what? That doesn't stop me. I'll honor my opinion. There are ways to give yourself the love you deserve, even when somebody else refuses to give it to you. But the problem is we don't know that. We don't know that. We don't know how to hold their foot to the fire and hold them accountable. We don't know how to use our power. We think that we should be treated any kind of way and then give them what they want. And that
uh-huh.
is just not true. It's just not true. You don't get rewarded for treating me bad. But a lot of us don't know that. We don't know
and,
that.
You know, I think
so
one of the reasons why people don't know that, to be honest with you, Suzette, a lot of times people come from homes where there was dysfunction to start with. And so this is the only thing they recognize. You know, in their house, this went on. The mother took mm-hmm. abuse, and so they think this is the way it's supposed to be. Or they came from families where there was mental health problems, drug and alcohol, abuse. A number of our women come from families that were dysfunctional with narcissism, with mothers that didn't care about them, you know, all kinds of issues. And if you never felt good about yourself to start with, then you never had high expectations. You may have high expectations in your head, but it doesn't translate into your heart, into your body. You know, you may think, well, I really want to meet somebody wonderful, and if there's anything wrong with them, I know it has to be better than what I came from, And also because I'm a really good, caring person, I know I can fix them. And I think that
mm-hmm.
we look at these men who are so dysfunctional as, like, you know, we should have a show on TV, like they fix those houses, how to fix a man. Oh, yeah. It would only be one
yeah.
hour show and we'd fail at it because we can't figure it out. But my
can't
point
figure
is that
it.
It's not like a house where you can make repairs. You know, people can make some changes, but, you know, their overall personality of what they do is who they are. And,
exactly.
you know, if they start out not good, they're not going to get better in almost all cases. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. And you said it. You hit the nail right on the head. One of the things we have to realize, and it was something that I had to realize, so I'll use myself. One thing I had to realize after I got through hating my gay ex-husband, blaming my gay ex-husband, making him the reason why my life was totally messed up like it was. After that ran out, Bonnie, I had to really
uh-huh.
look back and say, wait a minute, I was messed up before I met him. He didn't really mess me up. He just made the mess worse. But there was something wrong in how I saw myself.
Uh-huh.
There was something wrong. And ladies, that's what we have to understand. Not that I'm giving your gay husband a pass for how he treated you. Please
uh-huh.
understand, I'm not minimizing it. I'm not making it less than what it was. But even after your wound has a witness, and my God, Bonnie has given all of our wounds a witness. But after a while, we got to stop having year after year after year of our wound needing a witness. We done got a witness. What's next? The next thing is we have to understand, wait a minute, something was broken in me before I met him. Something was broken. So instead of me using all of my energy to emasculate him, to thumb my middle finger up at him, to thumb my nose at him, to blame him for every crisis in my life, let's go back. Because the issue is there are lots of different kinds of people in this world. But smoking doesn't bother a person who is not tempted to smoke. You know,
uh-huh.
there are certain people out here that are evil, that are mean, that are this, that are that are players, that are narcissists, that are all these things. The issue isn't that they are who they are. The issue is we allow them more space in our lives than had we been whole, we would have. And so if we can go back, if we can heal those areas, if we can deprogram those beliefs, those things that were modeled for us as we were growing up, the things that we got, the things that we didn't get. If we can deal with those things, counseling if you're stuck there, coaching if you're ready to move forward, if we can deal with those things, then gay people can be who they are, narcissists can be who they are, they can do their thing. We just won't be attracted to them anymore.
Uh-huh.
It won't be an issue for us because we are no longer ex-smokers. We're no longer ex-addicts. You know what I'm saying? It's no longer a moth to a flame.
Well, I think the problem is that if you don't make these changes, in the future you're going to see the same kind of patterns repeated for yourself as far as meeting somebody the next time. And I see this happening a lot. Women rushing
mm-hmm.
into, you know, the next relationship, and believe me, I understand. When you've been neglected for 10, 20, 30 years, and someone comes along, but, you know, you always talk about the sharks and the blood and how they can smell you, right?
Oh, yes. You know, it's
they're
the
waiting
about
for
it.
You, right?
Yes, because the thing about it is we go back into the ocean. You know, all these men, all this stuff is in this big, vast ocean. Well, yes, there are sharks in the ocean, right? And it increases the likelihood that you're going to draw a shark if you don't heal the hemorrhage in your heart. Because what? Sharks are drawn to blood. And for many of us, the reason we keep attracting the same kind of people, different clothes, you know, different look, but the same kind of energy, the same kind of people, is because we keep bleeding in the water. We keep bleeding in the water. So we need to get that fixed. We need to get it. And it's not, it doesn't mean that you are less powerful. You know, sometimes we have this thing in our minds that we feel like we can do it ourselves. We do. We feel like, hey, I am a woman, hear me roar. Oh, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. Honey, ain't nobody going to do this to me again. Honey, I ain't even thinking about no man. Honey, I don't think I'm going to ever. Honey, if I can get out of this, I ain't going to never. But I'm telling you, there's a man out there that can ring you, ding you, ding you, your emotional G-spot. And before you know it, you done got hoodwinked, bamboozled, drugged. Because why? Every one of us has an emotional G-spot. Each one of us has that thing that when the right man comes, it can mess us up. So that's why we need to go on and get this stuff done, get it dealt with. You know, and I understand people are at different places. If you are just going through the grieving process, then grieve. Then do it. Get help while grieving. Get counseling while grieving so that you can grieve productively. So you can grieve productively because you know as well as I do, sometimes people can get stuck in grief and never move forward. So grieving productively is so very important. Then once you've dealt with that thing and got that part straight and you said, okay, I'm ready to move forward now. I've dealt with the past enough now that I'm not stuck in it. Now I'm ready to move forward. Then that's when coaching is the thing I'm telling you. I'm not just saying it because I am a coach. Part of the reason that I am one is because I was coached, and it made a big difference in my life. I could not have gotten where I am had it not been for it. So I think that is so very key, so very key. And I hope the ladies that listen will hear this because Bonnie is saying it and I'm saying it. At some point, you got to stop crying on the shoulder. And I know Bonnie is built. One of the things I love and respect so much about her is you can cry on her shoulder and cry and cry. And she has the patience of Job. You can cry for 10, 20 years on her shoulder. I ain't wired like that. I'm more of the Xena warrior princess kind of person. It's like, look, girl, when you going to stop crying? And come on here. I done heard this same story for 5 years. When are we going to talk to this story and get the moving? Come on, get up. Come on, get up. Let's go. You don't have to stay here. Let's go. Let's leave this tomb. Let's leave these dead things. It's over. It's done. Let's go. Let's reclaim our hearts.
I tell women, Suze, that, you know, you may have been victimized, but you don't have to remain a victim. You have to become a victor. And, you know, I acknowledge that in many cases our women were definitely victimized, even through the whole divorce period, which is why we have our Straight Wives Matter campaign where, you know, there shouldn't be a no-fault rule. There should be a fault where somebody, you know, the other party should be responsible for the financing of the divorce. You know, no fault means there was no fault. Here there is fault. We married somebody
there
in good faith,
fault.
And that turned out not to be the case. We're not blaming them for being gay, but we're acknowledging that the marriage didn't end because of us. You know, they wanted to be who they are. I applaud it, but then do the right thing and, you know, take up the cost. So, you know, we have a lot that we're working on now with, you know, that. But also, once again, we are victimized, but we can't remain victims because you cannot move on with your life. You cannot get to that space that you need to be happy again if you're always going to feel like a victim. Victimization is different than being an eternal victim. You have to get out of that role and become, like I say, move from victim to victor, where you're the victor and you've put your life back on track and you can move on and you can find happiness. Let's talk about your happiness for a little bit. You met a wonderful man, right?
Oh, yes. And we are about a month and some change from 3 years, Bonnie. Three years. Oh my God! And I love him. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I love him more today than I did before. And I'm going to tell you why. Because in this 3 years, which is 1,095 days, it hasn't always been rosy. There have been things that have come back up from my past, even with all the work that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the ladies to hear me. I want
mm-hmm.
you to hear me. Because we have to be committed to our own health and well-being. Even when we found Mr. Right, we still do. Because our healing, it doesn't just happen lickety-split. It's something we have to continue to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to work on. And so we've hit some snags and some places that made me feel like, oh my God, I don't know. But I had to realize in the final analysis, it was my triggers. I was being triggered in ways that I did not think I could. But there's something about when you're living with somebody every day, you're getting to know them, especially this late in life, and you discover, wait a minute, I got to go a deeper depth to this healing thing, a deeper depth, because I'm feeling that same kind of, that I felt before. And the beautiful thing about this, though, is I didn't have to work on it by myself. Sure, I had to confront my own demons, confront my own insecurities. Yes, I had to do my own work. But it wasn't because I had somebody who didn't give a darn. So even in the tough times, even in those times where we're like, are we going to stay together? Are we going to work this thing out? Is this thing going to work? There was something between the two of us that said, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. And living with him and loving with him and fighting through with him has helped heal me to an even deeper level than I was healed before. I'm finally beginning to get to the point, not for just I deserve to be loved, but I'm open to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
On love.
Sometimes that's even harder than loving someone, is being open to receive it. Would you agree?
Oh, I would totally agree. Because a lot of us say, I want to be loved. I want to be loved. I want to find Mr. Right. I want to find Mr. Right. But sometimes, once he shows up, it starts being revealed to you. Wait a minute, I got some barriers. I got some things I want to control. I want to control how this thing happens. I need to control it because if I can't control it, then what does that mean about me? It's that thing, that V word, y'all, that dreadful, dreadful V word, vulnerability. And you cannot have intimacy without vulnerability. And I did not like the choices that made me feel vulnerable. I didn't like it. I did not like it. I fought it tooth and nail. Because why? I'm Xena Warrior Princess. You know, I don't do vulnerable. I don't do that. But I had to learn that what was holding me back was that in my defensiveness of myself, I was blocking my husband from really showing me the depth of his love, that he could love me as Xena Warrior Princess, and he could love me vulnerable. And it did not make me weak. It just made me human. And that in my humanness, in my nakedness, I could trust this man. I could trust him with my soft underbelly. I could trust him. And so my love for him is deeper because now I know I, at a different level, I can trust him with my heart.
Well, let me ask you this question, be honest. When you would have problems, because every marriage does, and especially when we're leaving our marriages to go into new ones, and, you know, we're not 20 years old anymore. People are set in their ways, you know, on both ends, both partners. But I think the difference between being with a man who loves you and who is straight as opposed to a man who thinks he loves you and he's gay is that when you have these problems, he doesn't use them against you to make you feel worse about yourself. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree, because not one time. And I know I seem like I'm all rosy and everything, but I got a little about me. You know, I got a little bit of alpha, you know, that B word. I got a little bit of that in me. And to be with someone who understands what makes me fight, what makes me triggered, it understands, okay, she feels threatened in some way. That's why she's fighting. She feels threatened in some way. To be able to be with someone who is different from a narcissist. The thing about the old situation was that person could never see me. It was always about them.
Right.
I want y'all to hear that. It was always about them. Always. I never got my fair shot. It was always about them. With this situation, with somebody who truly loves me, there has not been one time, Bonnie, and please know, if there had, God knows, I would tell you. But there has not been one time, even with how I would react when I felt threatened or I was having a panic attack, an anxiety attack, because I was feeling that same crazy energetic thing that made me feel that same kind of ooh feeling. He never once made me feel bad for being me. Never once.
Mm-hmm.
He never once shamed me. Was he very honest about how he felt? Oh, yes. Was he very, very honest about what he didn't like? Oh, yes. But it never was a put down. It never made me feel like I had to hide something, that I was wrong, that I was anything. He always, one of the things I love about this man is that he shows up full on. He showed up. And as a result of him showing up, I had to come out of my stuff, because you know it's easy for us to point our fingers and say our ex-gay husbands are narcissistic. But you know what? On the other side, we can find out we can be a little narcissistic too. You know? And I had to look at my own narcissism. I wanted to control things. I wanted to have it my way. My way was the right way. That was it. But this man stuck with me. He listened to me. We fought. We went down separate corners, but I never felt like I could not come back to him. I never felt like I could not have access to him. Even with tears sometimes rolling down both our faces, at the end of it, we're sitting there hugging each other saying, but I love you. But I love you. We got to work this out, because not having you in my life is not an option. I love you. I want you to be okay. You matter to me. Now, what I got to do so you'll be all right. When a person comes at you like that, it makes you say, you know what? What I got to do to make you all right, too? You know, it makes you want to be better.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you want to be better. And I can truly say us being together is bringing that stuff, the ugly stuff, to the surface. Thing about it, it's not having to be swallowed back down. It can come up, be sloughed off, And I never experienced that before. I never experienced things being resolved. I never experienced feeling like somebody really saw me, really cared about me. They weren't going to leave me. They weren't going to defect when they saw the truth of me. If I didn't do things exactly right, I didn't fit their image of me, they were going to somehow or another abandon me. But this man has stuck and stayed, and that's a love I've never known. But it's a love I do not want to be
And it's a beautiful feeling when you find someone who could love you for who you are and not for who you're not. You know, then that's the problem when you have a gay husband, is that they can't love you because you're not who they want to love. They can love you like a sister. They can love you like a cousin, but they can't love you like a woman. And that's what love is supposed to be about, right?
That's right. And they always whittle away at you. None of us are perfect. And the gay husband used my imperfections to give him a way out. Whereas this husband allows my imperfections to draw him in closer to me. It's a whole different energy. I love it. I love him.
And I think that also we don't always understand what marriage is supposed to be about. There are no two people who can live together in total harmony without a fight going on at some point, because you're two very different people. I mean, you're not identical twins. You didn't grow up together thinking the same things. You know, people are going to have differences. And plus, we bring all our baggage, you know, that we've gone through into these marriages, even if we have a lot of stuff resolved. As I said, there's always residual scarring. And something can just hit you the wrong way and bring back a memory of how your ex-husband treated you, and you become totally, you know, a different person at that moment. You go back to that time when that hurt you, and you react like that. And I think it's very normal. I mean, it's kind of like post-traumatic stress disorder that we do go through, so that different things trigger us. So, you know, I think it's very normal in these marriages, even when you're healed, because when you go through such trauma, that there will be times that you're just triggered. No matter how much you love the person you're with, certain memories will come back, or feelings or emotions at that moment. They're not going to stay with you for long, but they're there.
Oh,
and I think that happens with everybody, right? It has nothing to do with straight and gay. It just is human. It's human nature. Right?
It's very human. And what we have to understand, those of us who have gone through the gay marriage thing, or the gay marriage to the gay husband thing, is we have to understand, we say to ourselves, I'm a good woman. All our stuff still inside of us, all the toxicity still inside of us, and we can see that we're a good woman. So why is it that then, when a man comes into the picture that's a good man, we expect him to be perfect? Even good men have baggage, and good women have baggage too. The thing about it, what we have to see is, can I bring my crazy to your crazy, and we can heal each other? Or when I bring my crazy to your crazy, are we going to kill each other?
Exactly. You know, everything in life, it can't be idyllic, you know, every single minute of every single day. We're all human. We all have emotions. Some days we have off days. We have on days. And that's just part of living. But as long as you have far more many good days than the bad days, that's the best you can expect. There is no one who has a perfect day every day, right?
Not a perfect day every day. But one thing that I find is perfect, the universal love, L-O-V-E, love is perfect. People aren't perfect, but love heals. Love liberates. And many of us have gotten a distorted view of love because the people in our lives did not model it correctly. But it doesn't change the fact that love is beautiful. It's not something to be afraid of or ashamed of or to protect your heart from. Love is beautiful. People are flawed, but love is not flawed.
Absolutely. Love is very inspirational. It's encouraging to you. It makes you feel beautiful every day. No matter, you know, if you have a fight here or there, it doesn't matter. Knowing that you're loved and that somebody will love you regardless of that is a very validating feeling, and a feeling that so sadly many of our women will never know. Nothing makes me sadder than when a woman writes to me and she says that she's spent 30 years married to a gay man and she'll never know what the love of a straight man's going to be like. You know, I just feel very upset when I read those letters, because I think 30 years of a lifetime, or 25 years, or 20 years, 10 years, all these wasted years where women could have been happier, or could have been happy, or could have understood at least what it's like to have a straight partner who's into you instead of running away from you. And it really hurts my heart when I hear these things and read these letters. I hurt for every single woman who writes to me, and there's lots of them writing every week, and my heart just bleeds for them. So that's why I'm so glad to have you as part of our network, who can really work with women to change their unhappiness and validate who they are. And Suzette does counseling or coaching by phone. She does coaching by Skype, correct?
Yes, I do, by Zoom, by whatever means. Whatever.
I mean, if you're not in North Carolina around the corner from her, that doesn't mean you can't be inspired by her by telephone or by Skyping. And let's tell them your website, Suzette.
Yes, my website is www.coachsuzette.com.
That's Coach Suzette. And that's S-U-Z-E-T-T-E. And I'll be posting that on this information board after the show. So you can go to Suzette's beautiful website, or you can write to me or go on my links and you'll see Suzette there. And she'll be happy to set up an appointment with you and a time. And the women I know who have worked with her find that she is miraculous and helping to put them back on track. So for anyone who needs to be back on track, Suzette is your route. So, Suzette, do you have any final words before we end this hour that went too fast?
Oh, no, right? I want to just tell the ladies, you know, also be on the lookout for my What Is Your Enough Factor webinar, because I really feel like answering that question, am I enough, is very needed. Very needed.
When is that
webinar is coming soon. As a matter of fact, if they go to, it's a different website, but I tell you what I'll do. I will post it to the Straight Wife.
Yeah, send me the link and I'll put it in the newsletter coming up.
Oh, great. That'll be good.
Yeah, write up
that's
a little
coming
something
up in December.
That's great, because the newsletter will be going out next week. So write up a little something for me, and we'll post it so everybody can see. Okay?
Yes.
Suzette, you know I love you. You're my inspiration. I read your books. You'll see her books on her site, CoachSuzette.com. And, you know, those books inspire me. I still read them over and over, because so much of what you say is just so inspirational and so true. And next time you come back, we'll talk more about your books after your webinar.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah. So I hope you'll join us soon after the beginning of the new year. We really do miss you and miss your words. And you know I love you.
I love you too, Bonnie.
Thank you. And to all our women who are listening out there, try to have a stress-free as much as possible holiday this week coming up. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And, you know, I'm thankful for all of the women who are part of our support network. You know, you all mean so much to me, like my own children would be. So without any further ado, we'll say goodnight to everybody.
Good night.
I'll let you go first, Suzette.
All righty.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.